Our scripture text for this morning is from Matthew chapter 15, verses 7, 8, and 9. Jesus said, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men."
The idea of having our worship be called vain is a serious thing. It's serious to us because we want our prayers to get through. We want God to be happy with us. We certainly want the blessings that can only come from being in full fellowship with God. We want our sins forgiven. We want our needs met. And so when Jesus says something as important as worship is vain, we should pay close attention to it. Especially in the last few weeks as we've been studying from 1 Samuel, and we're seeing the beginning of a comparison between King David and King Saul. And we know that both of these men had serious problems in their life. They had flaws. They were broken, as everybody is. But for some reason, David was always found forgiven, and his fellowship with God was only damaged from time to time. It never was complete. And we see Saul gets farther and farther away from God. The reason for this is that there is more to, listen carefully, there's more to being a Christian than following the rules. There's more to being a Christian than dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's. If that was the case, the Pharisees would have been, Jesus would have bragged on them more. He said that's important to do those things. He said you should listen to what they teach you, but don't copy their life. When Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrine the commandments of men," he hit on a really big thing. And that is, what's going to be the absolute rule of our heart? Who do we really want to please, ourselves or him? When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment of the Old Testament, they thought he would pick one of the ten. Instead, he says the greatest commandment is this. Chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 37. To love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your mind, with all your soul. This was the greatest commandment. The reason this is important is because he's telling us that this is where it all starts, and that is what we do with our heart. If we get to that part right, we're going to do a lot better. If we don't, we won't do anything quite right. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "The pure in heart are the ones that see God," in verse 8, chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, in the same sermon, he said, murder actually starts with being angry. And in chapter 5, verse 28, he says that adultery takes place a long time before the act is committed, when we fill our heart with lust. When God selected David, Samuel was surprised, but God said that he looked at his heart. And later he would say, "This is the man who seeks my heart." In Psalms chapter 51, David would say, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." We had two brothers in one of the stories that Jesus told. One ran off and squandered his father's wealth. The other worked hard, kept all the rules. But when the story ends, the one that ran off is in fellowship with his father, and the one that kept the rules wasn't. Does that mean you shouldn't keep the rules? No, of course you should. If God said it, that's part of having the right heart. If we honor him and subject ourselves to him, we will. We know it's so. You've had a child before that rolled their eyes at you, didn't you? They might have cleaned the room. They might have got their homework. But by the size and the looks and the turning away from you, you knew their heart was not in it. and you found no pleasure. When a child stomps his feet or bows his neck or stiffens his lip or grits his teeth, it's a lot more than stomping feet, gritting teeth, and clenching fists, isn't it? What God requires of us is us. When we say, as a people of God's people, that I don't really see why this is all that important, or we try to make distinction and say this is not really a heaven and hell issue, or this is not really a important thing, we're missing the point. I don't like pickles. I've never liked pickles. I don't like sweet ones, dill ones, sour ones, or hot ones. I don't like pickles. I can eat a cucumber, but I'm not too hot on them. But I don't like pickles. And I want to tell you, I've eaten a lot. I don't like your pickles. If you have some, you need to try these. I don't like bread and butter pickles. I don't like any. I don't like fried pickles. I don't like pickles. But I've eaten a lot of pickles in my life. I order a hamburger and I always say, no pickles. And at least one out of ten, there's pickles on it. So I always look. Because I don't like what the surprise that a pickle gives me when I find it. Sometimes I send it back. Sometimes I pick them off. And sometimes I eat them. I remember one time I was a wonderful Christian family invited me and some other guys to go hunting on their place in eastern Oklahoma. They were true eastern Oklahoma country people. I mean, we're talking the real deal. They were hillbillies, you know. And they loved me. And she said, be sure and come in for lunch today, because I'm cooking a hen. And she had this big hen, and she was baking it, and she was making her dressing. I remember I was kind of excited about it because she was a good cook. And I remember the first bite of the dressing, I thought, what is a pickle doing in this bite of dressing? And then she said, you'll never believe what my secret ingredient is in my dressing. And I said, will it be a pickle? And she said, yes, I put a whole jar full of them in there. My dressing tastes like nobody else's. And I said, that's certainly the truth. But because I loved her, and because I knew she didn't know, I pretended they were medicine. And I said, they're not going to kill you. Chew them up and swallow them. So I didn't really eat them. I just chewed them and swallowed them, okay? Sometimes I pick them off. Sometimes I send it back. Sometimes I eat them. I believe God picks pickles off of everything we give him. I believe no matter how hard we try, we're going to fall short of what we ought to be. That's because of who we are. But there's a whole lot of difference between Sister Daniels giving me pickles and Patsy giving me pickles. She knows. If she did it, it's sort of on purpose, isn't it? Now, Patsy doesn't do that. But if she did, I'm sure there's a lot of things that ignorant people, people that don't know God very well, people that are moving towards him in their life, that God overlooks. But he expects us. He insists that we serve him. What did Jesus say? With all of your heart, with all of your mind, That means if you know God says this is what I want, we give it to him. Now, it really depends on who God is to us. If it's us, if I'm going to be pleased, if it's going to be all about me, then it's going to be radically different than if when Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, let's go over there and let's look at that scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Down in verse 14, he says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. He's telling us here that especially God's people, the people who know him the best, who say we love him the most, who know his word and know what he wants, we go out of our way pleasing him. It's our goal in life. You guys, if you love your wife, you go out of your way to find a way to please her, don't you? You girls, if you love your husband, don't you go out of your way to make him happy and to please him? Don't you like it when he kind of straightens up and thinks, look at this person that loves you? Young people, or even older people, if you love your parents, don't you know what makes them happy, and don't you go out of your way to do that? Don't you? I had a grandmother who loved me. When I would go see her, every meal was my favorite foods. There was never pickles on the table. Never. But she knew what I liked, and she went out of her way to please me. She even had a little bowl that had a little hump in the middle of it, and she'd cut oranges in half and rub them on there and pour it in a glass and say, would you like some more orange juice? Now, she didn't have to do that. Whatever she would have given me, I would have probably taken, but I know something about her. I know the woman that I know, and it's called Mama, loved me. We've been singing about it. We've been talking about it. We claim we are the church of Jesus Christ. We claim we're the children of God, and we know his word. So we shouldn't be arguing, and we shouldn't be vaunting ourselves. The reason Paul talks so strongly here is because that was a church that had lots of Corinth, had lots of talent, they had lots of money, they had famous people there, they had a big crowd, they were meeting their budget, they were rich, they had so many things going for them, and he said, I'm going to have to talk to you like you're ordinary men, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're living in a time of a lot of darkness, a lot of trouble, a lot of question marks where God says puts periods. But it should not, listen to me, it should not originate among God's people. It should not be there. And I'm sure that God has, I know he gives me a lot of grace. I know I'm not the man I should be, and I know none of us are who we should be, but we will never be better if we decide it doesn't matter, or that we'll be the arbiters of what is and isn't important, or that we'll be more concerned about whether I'm pleased than God's pleased. That should never happen. It should never happen. And maybe today, maybe right now, we could pray the prayer that David prayed. If you read Psalms 51, he's in bad shape. He knows he's really messed up, and he's begging God for grace. He said, don't throw me away, God, please. But his prayer was, Change my heart. Change my heart. Give me a clean heart. And I believe that God's people need to pray that prayer right now. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Give me a new heart. If you need to pray that prayer, or if you need that prayer prayed for you, won't you come while we stand and sing?